الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد, we continue with سورة النساء آية 63. أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم. فكيف إذا أصابتهم مصيبة بما قدمت أيديهم ثم جاءوك يحلفون بالله إن أردنا إلا إحسانا وتوفيقا. أولئك الذين يعلم الله ما في قلوبهم فأعرض عنهم وعظهم وقل لهم في أنفسهم قولا بليغا. The hypocrite are those, عليكم السلام, the hypocrite are those whom Allah knows what is in their hearts. So turn aside from them, meaning do not punish them, but admonish them and speak to them an effective word. In other words, to believe in Allah, worship Him, obey Him, and be afraid of Him, to reach their inner selves. Shaykh Abdurrahman bin Nasir al-Sa'di rahimahullah says concerning this ayah, وَلِهَذَا قَالْ أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُ اللَّهُ مَا فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ. It is those whom Allah knows what is in their hearts. أي من النفاق والقصد السيء. What is نفاق?
Hypocrisy.
Anyone else? You're doubtful?
Showing your iman on the outside, but inside is something else.
Hypocrisy. I was just testing you, brothers. Are there different kinds of hypocrisy or just a single kind? One.
There are different kinds.
Yes, Yamayru.
One for probably for the Kafir. I mean, who is really a Kafir, one who is actually a Muslim.
And so can we give them a better categorization with names? What do the scholars call them? Have you heard of the term Shirkun Akbar or Shirkun Asghar? We have Nifaqun Akbar. وَنِفَاقٌ أَصْغَرٌ. Major hypocrisy and minor hypocrisy. As in, one will take you outside of Islam, which is the one who is a Christian, Jew, atheist, whatever, but he claims to be Muslim outwardly, like many of the Shia today, believe it or not. And the minor hypocrisy is something which any one of us could be suffering from. And basically there are main traits, four main traits. Do you know them? The four traits of hypocrites.
When he speaks, he lies.
Okay, one of them is when he speaks, he lies. Good.
There are three or four.
Four. There's one hadith that mentions three, another one mentions four, so we have to go with the four.
Okay.
Because it has an additional trait. If he speaks, he lies. If he promises, he will betray the promise. I'll see you at 9 o'clock. 9:30, you're standing there by yourself. Typical. Very common. They call it Saudi time, or whatever time, everybody gives it a special time. The Filipinos will tell you this is Filipino time, and the Middle Eastern will tell you this is Middle Eastern time. And I don't know about India and Pakistan, if they have the same idea, coming 1 hour late, and this is Indian time, you know, everybody knows. I don't know, but anyways, this is hypocrisy. We still have two more. Come on, you guys, you're too sleepy in the morning. Hi, Aki, tafadhal. If he speaks, he lies. If he promises, he betrays. If he's there's no English there though. If he's entrusted with something, he's treacherous. Let's be more technical. He acts treacherously, because there's this slight variation between betrayal and treachery. Ala kulli hal. And the fourth one, the other hadith mentions four. If you dispute with him, he overreacts. Yani it will be, you'll come and give him a small nasiha, and he will scream, and who are you, and what is it? The people, you know, are looking, what happened? Did you curse his mother? No. You just told him, Akhi, the way you were praying was incorrect. And he will, you know, create a big scene, so much so that some of these people you don't even advise. Because, you know, as soon as you tell him something, everybody in the masjid is going to know. So, you kind of leave him. Yes?
Can you please say this hadith?
Yeah, the Prophet ﷺ said there are four qualities of a hypocrite. Whoever has all of them, he's a pure hypocrite. Whoever has some of them, then he has some aspects of hypocrisy until he leaves them alone. Then he enumerated them. إذا تكلم كذب وإذا أتمن قان وإذا سبق أقلف عليكم السلام وإذا قاصم فجر. So that these are the four traits. نسأل الله العافية. I hope inshallah that we don't have any one of them, and if we do, we work on purifying ourselves. إذن أي من النفاق والقصد السيء. So it is those whom Allah knows what they have in their hearts of hypocrisy and evil intent. They have an evil intent. فأعرض عنهم. So turn away from them. أي لا تباري بهم ولا تقابلهم على ما فعلوه واقترفوا. Meaning, do not even pay attention to them and do not treat them accordingly. Meaning, do not treat them the way they have treated you. Usually, there's this element of revenge. You want to take revenge. Don't deal with them in this fashion. Those who have hypocrisy, those who have evil intent, when they come with you with this junk, just ignore it and turn away from it. وَعِظْهُمْ and admonish them. أي بين لهم حكم الله تعالى مع الترغيب في الانقياد لله وترهيب من تركه. And what is intended by admonishment is that you clarify for them the ruling of Allah whilst encouraging them to submit to Him and threatening them and scaring them of abandoning Allah's rights and Allah's commands. وقل لهم في أنفسهم قولا بليغا. And say to them something which will affect their inner selves. Something that is really heavy. أي انصحهم سرا بينك وبينهم. Meaning advise them in secret between the two of you. Because there's a difference between public advice and secret advice. And the most effective one is secret advice. If you have an issue with someone, you come and take them on the side and you explain to them what issues you have. When you publicize it, however, it usually backfires. And unless that person is really, really, really humble and really, really submissive, he will accept the public advice and he will change his ways. But most people, once it has been publicized, then they will arrogantly reject the advice and they will insist on their deviance. Now that doesn't mean that there aren't times where you have to, the advice has to be made public if there's no means for you to do it in a secretive manner. And if that person's evil is tremendous and people need to be notified about that evil, in which case, and you know that some other people have advised them already, and you people that are close to you have already sat with this person, advised them, and he still refused the advice, it doesn't have to be that you yourself advise him personally again, since he has been advised, period. Now you can just go ahead and tell the people to be careful of Fulan, but within the boundaries of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, which are that anyone from Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah is not to be bashed and undermined and belittled for an error that he made, because all of us fall into that category of those who err and make mistakes. But there's a difference between someone who's on the same manhaj, the same aqeedah as you, and has some issues which any one of us could suffer, and between someone who's on a totally different understanding of Islam. And so it is very sad that some of the Muslims today, in the name of sticking to the way of the righteous predecessors, have turned the religion into just jarh and ta'deel. This warning against everyone. You can listen to Fulan and Fulan and Fulan and Fulan and Fulan and Fulan. They have a special website, by the way, for all the Fulans whom you cannot listen to. And if you really go through the whole list, it turns out that you can't even listen to yourself. Because you probably read your name somewhere there and be careful of us. Hey, I can't read a book anymore, man, because I'm deviant, according to them. So these are not the reliable source of the Ummah. May Allah guide them. They have good intentions, but just like the Salaf used to say, how often, or Ibn Mas'ud, how often does a good intention not bring any benefits? You intend good, but you do very bad. And so be careful of those as well. Allah musta'an. إذن فإنه أنجح لحصول المقصود. So then that secretive advice is more likely that the objective will be attained. وبالغ في زجرهم وقمعهم عما كانوا عليه. And be extreme in the sense, in the way you prevent them and stop them from what they were upon. Meaning the hypocrites. Do not give them the room to continue to act in the fashion they used to act. وفي هذا دليل على أن مقترف المعاصي وأنه يعرض عنه فإنه ينصح سرا ويبالغ في وعظه بما يظن حصول المقصود به. In this ayah, then there's a دليل that the one who's engaged in sins, that even though you have the right to avoid him, yani one of the means nowadays, as the ulama say, this is no longer effective. Sheikh Albani says today this hajr, known as boycotting, is no longer an effective means today. Back then, when the whole society was righteous, when someone was openly disobedient, he stood out. And by the people abandoning him, it was means for him to return, because he wants to mix with the society. He wants to be normal. So when everybody doesn't speak to him, he will abandon these evil deeds in order to be able to communicate with the people in the society. Nowadays, if your neighbor is, you know, is a smoker, and you say, oh, he's from the people of Ma'asi, I'm going to leave him alone, he's going to be sitting on his balcony puffing more cigarettes all day. And you didn't do anything. You hate him, and you may curse him, and you may do all these things, but you didn't guide him to the way of Allah. So the ulama say today, because of the prevalence of sins and innovations, it is not a wise move to abandon all innovators and abandon all sinners, because you'll be on your own. So you have to mix with them and bring them to the truth with patience, with the sabr of Nuh, alayhi salam, 950 years, he's speaking to them, laylan wa nahara, sirran wa jihara, all these times, giving them da'wah, they're closing their ears and they're covering their faces, they don't want to hear the da'wah. He didn't make du'a that Allah drowns him until after 950 years, after he knew from Allah that there's no way they will be guided. Had he known that there's room for guidance, he would have continued in the da'wah, alayhi salatu wasalam. Now, but we're very hasty. You know, after 2 weeks of advice, it doesn't work, khalas. This person is stamped as going to Jahannam for sure. We don't have the right to do that. We have to be patient with the people. Inshallah, one day, they will be guided. Tayyib. Well, ayah number 64. Wasn't it supposed to be the one before? Ala kulli hal. So we did 63 now. 64. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا لِيُطَاعَ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ إِذْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ جَاءُوكَ فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا اللَّهَ وَاسْتَغْفَرَ لَهُمُ الرَّسُولِ لَوَجَدُوا اللَّهَ تَوَّابًا رَحِيمًا. 64. We sent no messenger but to be obeyed by Allah's leave. If they, meaning the hypocrites, when they had been unjust to themselves, had come to you, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and begged Allah's forgiveness, and the messenger had begged forgiveness for them, indeed they would have found Allah all forgiving, meaning one who forgives and accepts repentance, most merciful. Now the Shaykh rahimahullah says, يُخْبِرُ تَعَالَى خَبَرًا فِي ضِمْنِهِ الْأَمْرُ وَالْحَثُّ عَلَى طَاعَةِ الرَّسُولِ وَالْإِنْقِيَادِ لَهِ. Now linguistically, it's very interesting. I don't know which one of you knows the four kinds of sentences in English. Who likes English grammar? Besides myself, I guess. No. These are tenses. Four kinds of sentences. Declarative, imperative, interrogative, and exclamatory. Right? Meaning either it's a command or it's a declaration of some information. You know, the class starts at 9 o'clock, for instance. Or it's an interrogative, you're asking a question, how are you today? Or it's an exclamation, there's, you know, my car is broke, and there's some sort of feelings associated with that. Now, it's very interesting when in balagha, in eloquence of the Arabic language, that Allah Azza wa Jal will use like an interrogative sentence, but what is intended is a declarative sentence. For example, Allah says, وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ. Who is better in speech than he who calls to Allah? Is Allah actually asking the people so that they will reply and say the da'i? No. The ayah means no one is better in speech than he who calls to Allah. But the manner and the form of sentences is what? An interrogative, but the intent is declarative. Meaning there's no one better in speech than he who calls to Allah. Similarly, here Allah Azza wa Jal is giving us a declarative sentence, but what is intended is an imperative sentence, meaning you're being commanded, but instead of Allah giving us the command directly, which He will later on, He gives it to us in a form of a khabar. It's like information which you hear. For example, you hear in the news, the carelessness of the community caused the neighborhood to become filthy. And when you read this news and you are in a clean neighborhood, you understand from this is, what you understand is that we in our neighborhood shouldn't be careless about our streets, so that we will not wind up in the same situation they're in. So even though it's information, you take it as a command pertaining to yourself. So here, the Shaykh said, Allah informs us a khabar. It's like news, it's a declarative sentence. فِي ضِمْنِهِ الْأَمْرُ وَالْحَقِّ But included, along with it, there's a command, and an encouragement to obey the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and to follow his footsteps. وَأَنَّ الْغَايَةَ مِنْ إِرْسَالِ الرُّسُلِ أَنْ يَكُونُوا مُطَاعِينَ يُقَادَ لَهُمْ الْمُرْسَلُ إِلَيْهِمْ فِي جَمِيعِ مَا أُمِرُ بِهِ وَنُهُوا عَنْهِ That the objective behind sending messengers is that they are obeyed, by the one whom they were sent to in all of their affairs, in everything which they command and everything which they forbid. Anything which they say is haram must be avoided. Anything which they command must be carried out. وَأَنْ يَكُونُوا مُعَظَّمِينَ تَعْظِيمَ الْمُطَاعِنِ الْمُطِيعِ And that they should be magnified. They should be exalted. Not the way you exalt Allah Azza wa Jal. The exaltation of the obedient to the one being obeyed. وَفِي هَذَا إِثْبَاتُ عِصْمَةِ الرُّسُلِ Allahu Akbar. فيما يبلغونه عن الله وفيما يأمرون به وينعمونه Look at the scholars now. Look at this beautiful deduction. Because of this, they deduced that the messengers are infallible. Wait. Let me explain what I mean by that. As in, pertaining to the deen of Allah, they may not make mistakes that remain in that manner. Yani, what they convey from Allah must be 100% according to Allah. Whether immediately or if there's a change. Like in many cases, the Prophet ﷺ had done ijtihad. Because the ulama, when they divide the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, they say there are elements of it which were direct revelation from Allah. Which he automatically conveyed to the ruling came from Allah, he carried it out. There are times where Allah gave his messenger the ability to do ijtihad. Like in the war captives of the battle of Uhud, or Badr, I'm sorry, Badr. And other occasions, where Prophet ﷺ exerted himself. Now if his decision was in agreement with what Allah wanted, it was done. If it wasn't, then revelation will be sent down automatically to modify. Not that the Messenger ﷺ was sinful or that he was wrong. Even the ulama say that he chose the correct decision but not the best. And Allah wanted the best for his Messenger ﷺ. So it's just a matter of level of excellence. Not right or wrong, but how good your choice is. That's one observation the ulama have. So the idea is, the ulama, the scholar, the anbiya, I'm sorry, the prophets and the messengers in this sense could not convey something wrong to the people and it remains like that. So they are infallible. They cannot bring something which contradicts the deen of Allah, because Allah said in this ayah, they must be infallible in this sense because of what they command, what they convey of Allah's command. If Allah told us to obey the messenger, can the messenger be making many mistakes and Allah will tell you to obey him? It wouldn't make sense. Yani when Allah says obey the messenger, period, that means Allah guarantees that whatever the messenger conveys to you is from Allah. Because Allah told you obey my messenger. That means that Allah is like giving him the endorsement that when I tell you obey him and avoid what he forbade, that means I guarantee you that whatever he tells you is something which I'm pleased with. Is that clear? Do you see the rationale in this whole thing? I hope so. لِأَنَّ اللَّهَ أَمَرَ بِطَاعَتِهِ مُطْلَقًا Because Allah commanded that they should be obeyed in the absolute sense. فَلَوْلَ أَنَّهُمْ عَصُمُونَ لَا يَشْرَعُونَ مَا وَخَطَ Had they not been infallible, and that they do not legislate that which is wrong, لَمَا أَمَرَ بِذَلِكَ مُطْلَقًا Allah would not have commanded that you obey them in this absolute sense. Excuse me. وقوله بإذن الله أي الطاعة من المطيع صادرة بقضاء الله وقدره. Meaning by Allah's leave. That is, the obedience from the obedient only takes place according to Allah's decree and preordainment. It is not something which He created on His own. ففيه إثبات القضاء والقدر. In it, there is evidence of our belief in قضاء and قدر, the preordainment and the decree of Allah. والحث على الاستعانة بالله, and the encouragement to seek aid from Allah. وبيان أنه لا يمكن لا يمكن الإنسان إن لم يعنه الله أن يطيع الرسول. And there is a lesson, and there is a clarification that the person is not able to obey the messenger unless Allah aids him. Yani, in other words, any aspect of the sunnah which one of us is practicing, let it be known in the depth of his heart that it is because Allah allowed it. Had Allah not allowed it, we would not have been able to follow any of the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. So this is all from Allah Azza wa Jalla. So we thank him and we praise him accordingly. ثم أخبر عن كرمه العظيم وجوده ودعوته لمن اقترف السيئات أن يعترف ويتوب ويستغفر الله. The Allah informs us of His vast generosity and kindness and His invitation to those who have committed sins that if they admit and they repent and that they seek forgiveness of Allah. فقال ولو أنهم يظلموا أنفسهم جاءوك. Had they only, when they wrong themselves, come to you, أي معترفين بذنوبهم باخعين بها, admitting their sins and feeling remorseful over that. فاستغفر الله, then they sought forgiveness of Allah. واستغفر لهم الرسول, and the messenger seeks forgiveness for them or sought forgiveness for them. لوجدوا الله توابا رحيما, and they would have found Allah to be the one who accepts repentance, the most merciful. أي لتاب عليهم بمغفرته ظلمهم ورحمهم بقبول التوبة والتوفيق لها والثواب عليها. Meaning Allah would have accepted their repentance by forgiving their wrongdoing, their oppression, and He would have shown mercy to them by accepting their tawbah and giving them success to attain this tawbah and rewarding them accordingly for it. وهذا المجيء إلى الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم مختص بحياته. Very important. This coming to the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم is specific to his life, specific during his lifetime. Why? The same ayah is used by the Sufis and by the grave worshippers who say that Allah said, had you, when you wronged yourself, went to Allah, went to the Messenger of Allah and sought forgiveness of Allah, and the Messenger sought forgiveness for you, you would have found Allah to be Tawwab al-Rahim. So what do they say? When you disobey Allah and you're sinful, you go to Medina, Ziyarah, not to mention the Nabawi to pray. No, prayer there is unimportant for them. Even though the Salah is equivalent to 1,000 elsewhere. No, they go straight to the grave and they tell, O Messenger of Allah, make dua for me. Seek Allah's forgiveness for me. So they wind up calling on the Prophet ﷺ instead of calling on Allah in the house of Allah. Which is exactly what the people of Nuh were doing, and what the people of Ibrahim were doing, and what every nation which Allah destroyed because of shirk were doing. It was the same mentality. مَا نَعْبُدُهُمْ إِلَّا لِيُقَرِّبُونَ إِلَى اللَّهِ زُلْفَى. But we're only worshipping them so they may get us closer to Allah. So you tell this mushrik, Ya akhi, why are you calling? He said, I'm not calling the Messenger of Allah. I know Allah is there. I know Allah. I'm only trying to get to Allah through the Messenger of Allah because Allah loves him. And Allah doesn't love me. So if I go to Allah through the one whom He loves, I'll get what I want. Wasta. He wants to do wasta. Like the people do it here. You want to renew your iqama, but your whatever you have, you know someone in Jawazat? It's done. You don't know someone in Jawazat? Salaamu alaikum. You're going to be here for some time. A problem. That mentality is the mentality of the people of shirk. They didn't believe that this idol, you know, created the heavens and the earth. They knew it was Allah who created the heavens and earth. But they thought this idol would intercede with them or for them with Allah. They were intercessors with them. وقال وهؤلاء شفعاؤنا عند الله. They said these are our intercessors with Allah. Same shirk mentality practiced by so-called Muslims today. So the ayah, the Shaykh said, is only during his life. During his life, had you been a Sahabi, or what you had, you have been a hypocrite among the Sahaba, among those who at that time, had you went to the Messenger of Allah and asked Allah to forgive you, then ask the Messenger of Allah to make dua for you, that would have been totally fine. Because he's alive. And yes, we believe in his, in the barakah of his dua. When the Messenger of Allah makes dua, it's not like when you make dua. Obviously, that's why when they would want rain, they would do istisqa through the Messenger of Allah. As in, oh Messenger of Allah, they know we're suffering of drought. And what would he do during Jum'ah? He would raise his hands, and he would make dua, and show it everybody else, and Allah would send down rain. No one said, oh Allah, we're asking you, through your Messenger who's on the minbar, give us rain. Which is what tawassul is. That the people do today, and they claim to be a valid form of tawassul, even though it is not. Anyways, you can refer back to the lecture tawassul. There the whole discussion was elaborated on by Allah's grace and mercy. عَلَى كُلِّ حَالٍ لِأَنَّ الصِّيَاقِ يَدُلُّ عَلَى ذَلِكَ. Now why is this specific to his life, during his life? Because the context clearly indicates that. لِكَوْنِ الْإِسْتِغْفَارِ مِنَ الرَّسُولِ لَا يَكُنُ لَبِحَادِ. Because seek the messenger seeking forgiveness on your behalf cannot happen except while he's alive. وَأَمَّا بَعْدَ مَوْتِهِ فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَطْلَبُ مِنْهُ شَيْءٍ بَلْ ذَلِكَ شِرْكٍ. So after his death, عليكم السلام, nothing is asked of him because this is a form of shirk. And what is funny, عليكم السلام, you know, people don't like you. And that's very common when you're involved in da'wah, that the people will be of two kinds. Those who, if they agree with you, they will like you. If they disagree with you, they don't like you. So anyways, I have this... I'm expecting some group of people to refute me for the longest time. So I have on this Google, there's this feature on Google, I don't know what it's called. Alert. Okay, you put your name there. Anytime any post is on the internet with that name there, it will send you a link with the alert. So I have my name there for reasons. I have reasons. Don't misunderstand me. Don't misunderstand why. عَلَى كُلِّ حَالٍ, I get this link. And the link says, the deviant Wajdi Akkari versus the scholars and the ulama of Ahl Sunnah. I was like, oh, that's a heavy one. I versus all of these ulama. Khair. I click on the video. And as soon as you put on the video, as soon as the video plays, there's that they have a clip from the lecture Tawassul, wherein I say, so when this hadith was quoted, was the Messenger of Allah alive or was he dead? Alive or dead? And so I said, he was dead. The Messenger of Allah was dead. And I said, many people don't like to hear this. Especially those from some background. When they hear you say the Messenger of Allah dead, there's like this, they feel like this is a very grave statement. But Allah says in the Quran, إِنَّكَ مَيِّتٌ وَإِنَّهُمْ مَيِّتُونَ. You will die and they will die. And the clip ends. Then they bring the ulama of Ahl Sunnah. And who are these ulama of Ahl Sunnah? None of them obviously forget it. They bring these clips and these parts where they're explaining some of the hadith pertaining to salam. When you send salam upon the Prophet ﷺ. And wallahi, had they had understanding of the language or even of English, they would have not fallen into this trap. So it's one of two things. Either these people are extremely ignorant or extremely deviant. I'll give you some examples. They quote the ayah, I'm sorry, they quote the hadith that the Prophet ﷺ said, Allah has made it forbidden upon the earth to consume the flesh of the prophets. And they bring different du'as, by the way. One shaykh and then one from Pakistan and from different people. He's speaking Urdu, I don't even know what he's saying. But he's screaming, إِنَّ اللَّهَ حَرَّمَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ أَنْ تَأْكُلَ الْأَنْبِيَاءَ. He said the hadith 15 times in this interview with this man. And all this is refutation. Guys, just think about it. Allah has made it haram for the earth to consume the flesh of the prophets. What does that indicate? Do you put someone in the grave and the earth consumes him while he's alive? Or does that happen after you die? After you die! You decompose, you decay, this happens after you die, not while you're alive. Not while you're alive. I mean, at least now if somebody is going to get scientific and go into details, possibly, but generally speaking, this is an act that happens after you die. So the hadith itself is telling you that they must be dead. If they were alive, They wouldn't have to worry about the earth consuming their flesh. The earth would not have consumed their flesh. The other hadith which they quote is that Allah has assigned malaika who travel and deliver the salams to me. Then the hadith says, فَيَرُدُّ اللَّهُ إِلَيَّ رُوحِي لِأَرُدَّ السَّلَامِ. Then Allah returns my soul so I may return the salam. If you are alive, do you need your soul to be returned? No! The hadith itself is telling you that he must be dead. And because he's dead and his soul is departed, the privilege Allah gave the messenger is that the soul is returned to him so he may return the salam, which is another indication that he's dead. The fact that he's being given his soul back does not mean that he's alive. Now you will say, hey, how many people are giving salam upon the Prophet ﷺ? That means he must be alive because his soul is being returned to him the whole time because he's continuously returning salam. Say, this is philosophy 101. And we're speaking about the deen. And the life of this world is not like the life of the barzakh. And you have no right to come and apply the physical laws of the dunya in that life in between. That's none of your business, the mechanism in which this happens. Your job is to believe his soul is gone, it is returned to him to give him the salam. How often that happens is none of my business, none of your business, and you have no right to speak on it unless you have an evidence from the Quran and the Sunnah. So what is the idea? The idea is that the ayat are clear and the hadith are clear that the Prophet ﷺ has passed away. Abu Bakr kissed him when he died. He said, "Tibta hayyan wa mayyitan." You were pure, dead and alive. He got on the member and said, whoever worships Allah, then Allah is the ever living. Whoever worships Muhammad, then Muhammad has died. He said the other one before the first. I mean, all the Sahaba agreed he was dead. The Medina cried, the whole Medina, Bilal couldn't call the Adhan. Why? He's alive? If he was alive, then there would be no issues. He died, alayhi salatu wasalam. Anyways, people don't like to hear that. And so, this is the combat between Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah and I don't know what Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah were those, man. Couldn't even understand the simplicity of the hadith and the words in it. Wallahi musta'an. Now, how did I get here? As usual, I don't know. Aywa. Now here comes a very crucial ayah in the life of every Muslim. Allah says in Surah Ayah 65, فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا مِّمَّا قَضَيْتَ وَيُسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. But know by your Lord, they can have no faith until they make you a judge in all disputes between them, and find in themselves no resistance against your decisions, and accept them with full submission. This ayah is quoted very often by the ulama. Very often by the ulama to indicate that that none of us truly believes until he has three qualities. Not just one quality, until he has three qualities. First, that any time we differ on a subject matter, we differ on anything pertaining to the deen, you don't refer to Mawlana or Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah or Imam Shafi or anyone else. You don't refer to anyone except the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam first. Not to anyone else. Not to my Shaykh, my institute, my organization, my whatever. No. The Sunnah is that Allah says, فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ. You must refer back to the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم. That's the first step. If you don't do that, then you can say that your iman is either non-existent or very low. If you totally reject Islam, then obviously that's the first degree. But preferring someone over the Messenger of Allah indicates a very low level of iman. Let's say you referred back to the Sunnah. What is the next step? حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا مِمَّا قَدَيْتَ. That you do not find within yourself, in your heart, any discomfort, any resistance against the decision. يعني we dispute on a subject matter, and I say, okay, let's refer back to the Sunnah, we see what the Hadith says. And then we bring what the Hadith says. If in your heart you say, oh man, you don't really believe. Believe, you believe, you're a Muslim, but not the Iman, which will guarantee you all the things which Allah guaranteed for the people of Iman. The fact that you have an issue with the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, you have some disagreement, even if it's within your heart, it's in your heart, then you're not totally, you have not totally submitted to the, to Allah Azza wa Jal. There's still something. And then afterwards, okay, you referred it back to the Sunnah, you found no discomfort in your heart. The third level is وَيُسَلِّمُ تَسْلِيمًا, you submit in full submission. And look at the repetition of the words. يُسَلِّمُ تَسْلِيمًا. They're actually derived from the same thing, which is istislam, submission, surrendering. Yeah, and you surrender in full surrender, not partial, not part-time, not temporary. These are the three levels in every matter of the deen. Once we have all of them, then we're on good terms with Allah Azza wa Jal. ثُمَّ أَقْسَمَ تَعَالَى بِنَفْسِهِ الْكَرِيمَةِ أَنَّهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوا رَسُولَهُ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ. Now Allah swore by him, by his noble self. فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ. Nay, by your Lord, swearing by the Lord of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is Allah Azza wa Jal. They will not believe until they make you a judge concerning everything they dispute about. أي في كل شيء يحصل فيه اختلاف. In everything in which there is difference. بخلاف مسائل إجماع, unlike matters of consensus. Meaning the things which the scholars have differed about is done. فإنها لا تكون إلا مستندة للكتاب والسنة. Anyways, there isn't anything which is considered an إجماع unless it is from the Quran and the Sunnah. The consensus is from the Quran and the Sunnah. ثم لا يكفي هذا التحكيم حتى ينتفي الحرج من قلوبهم والضيق. Then that reference, or that referring back to the Sunnah and the judgment is not sufficient until there's no discomfort and no restrictions concerning that in your heart. وكونهم يحكمونه على وجه الإغماض ثم لا يكفي هذا التحكيم حتى يسلموا لحكمه تسليما بانشراح صدر وطمأنينة نفس وانقياد الظاهر والباطن. عجيب. Then that is not sufficient until that after you refer to the judgment to the Sunnah, and then you don't find anything in your heart. You do it as if you're closing your eyes, with your eyes closed. You mean you're ready, you're accepting, you don't have any discomfort. Then you submit in such a submission with your chest being open in that sense. Meaning you're willingly, happily, wholeheartedly carrying out that Sunnah. Not only that you don't have any issues, no, but you're looking forward to doing it. You have that eagerness. And your soul in the state of tranquility and submission outwardly and inwardly. فَالتَّحْكِيمُ فِي مَقَامِ الْإِسْلَامِ. So the Shaykh said, look at that now, the way the scholars categorize it. He said, تَحْكِيم, meaning, we said three levels, referring back to the Sunnah, not having any discomfort, submitting in total submission. The first one is equal to Islam. Referring back to the Hadith, is like in levels, is like Islam. وَانْتِفَى الْحَرَجْ مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ. And for you not to have any discomfort is like Iman. And what would be the last one? Ihsan, mashallah, tabarakallah. والتسليم في مقام الإحسان. And Taslim is in the state of Ihsan. These are the levels. فمن استكمل هذه المراتب وكملها. Whoever fulfills all of these levels and he perfects them, فقد استكمل مراتب الدين كلها. He has actually fulfilled all of the levels of the deen, all of the obligations of the deen. فمن ترك هذا التحكيم المذكور غير ملتزم له فهو كافر. Whoever abandons all of them and he doesn't refer to them period is a kafir. Which is the kafir? When you tell him, you know, let's see what the Quran and Sunnah say. They say, what Quran and Sunnah? He doesn't even believe in Quran and Sunnah. So like a typical kafir. وَمَنْ تَرَكَهُ مَعَ الْتِزَامِهِ فَلَهُ حُكْمُ أَمْثَالِهِ مِنَ الْعَصِينَ. Whoever then abandons it, abandons the ruling while referring it back, then he is treated like the rest of the disobedient people. That's quite a lengthy discussion. And I think we should conclude, inshallah, because the ayah 66 and ayah 67 and 68 are quite related, and I wish to address them together, inshallah. So with this we conclude the dars. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا